Hello, and welcome to 15 Minute History. Each week, we teach you about historical figures, events, and places in 15 minutes. If this is your first time here, then thanks for coming. Stay connected with us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and our website at aetgroup.org, where you can find show recordings and transcripts for each episode. Now, let's start the show.
More Americans get their history from movies than from any other source, academic or popular, to the consternation of many history teachers. Speaking personally, I have on occasion been forced to correct inaccurate pictures of history with my students, and I'm often met with looks of shock that Hollywood could ever present the past in anything but a factually correct manner. Movie studios change history for a variety of reasons: dramatic storytelling, the need to condense events, or even corporate or personal agendas. This week, Joe and I hope to inspire you to find some solid historical films in a variety of categories, and also warn you about some films that are less than accurate or even downright lies.
Each of us chose a movie in the various categories. Somehow, John took the good ones, and I got stuck with the bad ones. So enjoy.
Military history. War is the most interesting and catastrophic of human endeavors, and it is often the center of popular films. Until the emergence of superhero films a decade ago, 7 of the top 10 worldwide box office spots were held by war movies, and even Marvel and DC superhero flicks showcase war, albeit of a different kind. War brings out the best and worst in mankind, and these films showcase the best and worst in movie making.
Vietnam War movies. It's pretty much every movie about Vietnam, and here are two examples. Apocalypse Now, 1979. When Francis Ford Coppola created this film, he did it to give a modern-day interpretation of Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, to show how Americans perceive the war. Note the word perceived. In no way was it intended to be factual, to represent the American soldier and their motivations, or to illustrate how war was being conducted. Unfortunately, I've had people cite this film as a source of American atrocity and ineptitude, from the air cav attack on a village to the scene at Dolung Bridge, where there is no CO, total chaos, and endless hell. Folks, this stuff just didn't happen. Sorry, no one destroyed villages to surf, and there was no Dolung Bridge. The bridge scene was meant to illustrate the perceived utility of the war, and the air attack was to show the Americanization of it. Again, both false. Good story, bad history. Platoon, 1986. No platoon experienced all the things that this platoon experienced. Yes, I know it was Oliver Stone's way of including all the atrocities that occurred in the war and showcasing them while withholding all the good things done by American soldiers, but unfortunately, like most films about Vietnam, the fake scenes with the fake battles and the fake soldiers and the fake guns were cited as real and factual. Again, my apologies, but things just didn't happen this way. While there are a few exceptions, movies about Vietnam are made by protesters who care less about historical accuracy and more about their political motivations. Steer clear or proceed with caution.
Gettysburg, 1993. It's difficult to make an exciting movie about soldiers lining up and firing at each other with single-shot weapons. And Gettysburg is not a particularly exciting movie. However, if you want exciting entertainment, I would recommend the latest Marvel film. I hear it's going to be the best one yet. Gettysburg portrays real history, not the fake drama on display for the masses thirsty for gore. Based on Michael Schara's incredible book, The Killer Angels, Gettysburg is not a war movie in the traditional sense. Rather than invent characters and place them in historical events, Gettysburg recreates the largest battle of the American Civil War in near-perfect detail. You won't find yourself thrilled by incredible CGI displays of bloodshed, but you might just walk away from Gettysburg with a better understanding and appreciation of the most devastating conflict our nation has ever witnessed. Political history. According to the great German theorist Karl von Clausewitz, quote, "War is a continuation of politics by other means," unquote. The same is true of political films. They are similar to war movies in that they are often adapted and changed to suit the times and to tell exciting stories. While political films do not appeal to everyone, and they often anger one side of the political aisle or the other, they are usually entertaining, sometimes in a tragic sort of way.
JFK, 1991. Many of you will disagree with this selection, given the cinematography for this film was superb, but we're going for historical accuracy, right? Oliver Stone isn't known for his ability to portray American events in both politics and war, and this film is no different. The wild theories paired with the long runtime make for a snooze fest for all of us unbelievers. Additionally, part of the frustration with the film is since the entire premise is based on varying degrees of speculation, those that may believe get more questions than answers. I don't know about you, but I like movies that have endings, good or bad. So, what really happened that day? Let's just for a moment speculate, shall we? Just don't look to this movie for help. Thumbs down.
Lincoln, 2012. Abraham Lincoln is a larger-than-life figure in American history, but this film, the second and I promise last about the Civil War era, humanizes the 16th president in a way not seen before on film. Daniel Day-Lewis's portrayal of President Lincoln captures his popular image while also revealing his character in very personal ways that were once confined to long and windy biographies. From his unique sense of humor and use of stories to explain his thinking, Lincoln comes alive on the screen. The film is set amidst the controversy of passing the 13th Amendment, and viewers are treated not just to the high and mighty statesmen like Lincoln and Seward, but to unscrupulous tricksters who bribed and threatened members of Congress to do the president's bidding. Lincoln shows the audience that the abolition of slavery was not as easy as history class usually says. It was a difficult and often shady business of backroom dealings with questionable characters, and the film demonstrates the unshakable strength of President Lincoln as he sought to end the saddest chapter in American history. Social history. Americans are fascinated by how people lived in ages past, perhaps more than in any other country. We imagine ourselves living in a world without the technology and conveniences of modern life, and we wonder if we'd make it in those days. Social history is not technically a genre of film. The term describes a movie set in the past which reveals the best and worst of those who came before us. Some use the details of everyday life in the past to tell amazing stories, while others seek to shine a light on historic injustices as a way to inspire us to continue to progress as a society.
Australia, 2008. The name alone sends chills down the adventurer's spine. The cast, score, and setting make you think that nothing could go wrong, but in the end, this film has one good scene. The rest of the scenes seem to be a hodgepodge of different plots mixed together with a love story that by the end is a bit watered down. The infamous good scene is the effective halt of stampeding cattle, which, because of past personal experience, I was happy to see. As said, everything was so fluid that viewers can barely grasp what life was like in the reformed prison colony of Australia. This, despite its overly long runtime. Hugh Jackman was awesome. Nicole Kidman was awesome. The content and history of Australia is awesome. With these facts, you'd think it would be a winner. You'd be wrong.
Apocalypto, 2006. Like many of his other films, Mel Gibson's Apocalypto sparked some controversy when it was released. The movie presents the audience with a picture of the Mayan civilization of Central America just before its first contact with Europeans. While wildly inaccurate in some places, for example, the Mayans were never as barbaric as to conduct widespread human sacrifice like their Aztec neighbors to the north, the film presents the most accurate picture of pre-Columbian Native American civilization ever seen on screen. No offense intended to National Treasure 2. Gibson's message of a civilization's downfall resonated with discerning audiences and caused them to examine their own cultures and look for evidence of rot and ruin, which might lead to an eventual decline and fall. Cultural history. Like social history, cultural history examines how a group of people in the past lived their lives. The distinction is, while social history gives a broad picture of an entire society, cultural history focuses in on a specific group of people at a distinct period in time. Once again, this excites the imagination of people who cannot imagine life outside their own time and brings new understanding to the past and reflections on the present.
The Scarlet Letter, 1995. No one is king of the world in this movie. This loose interpretation of Hawthorne's historically inaccurate tale represents the worst of revisionist history. Puritans are portrayed in film in one of two ways, as legalists or Satanists. One could argue that this is one and the same. This is a lie, and I'm tired of it. Most first, second, and third generation Puritans made their way in the wilderness with nothing but guile and a deep-rooted faith in the sovereign will of their creator. Instead of providing a view into what this life was like, this film joins the countless false portrayals of Puritan life while including a forbidden love story which urges everyone watching to let go. Missing the mark on all counts, The Scarlet Letter illustrates that a woman's heart is indeed a deep ocean of secrets, but based on this movie, no one should care.
Titanic, 1997. I can already hear you shouting at me. Okay, John, I've let you wonder about a Chinese America, question American foreign policy and wars for oil, and yammer on about that madman Sherman. But Titanic? That's a bridge too far. Which, incidentally, is another great movie. Please hear me out. Titanic was the top-grossing film in history for 12 years, and it appealed to every demographic in society, rich and poor, young and old, male and female. Of course, watching Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet fumble around together inside an old car is almost as painful as hearing Leo bloviate about global warming from his private jet. But Titanic is more than just a love story between two adults trying to pretend they're teenagers. For students of history, Titanic shows the twilight of the Victorian age, of class distinctions, of the fantastically rich looking down upon the desperately poor. Characters in first class ignore or disparage those in steerage, even as the ship slips beneath the ocean. The world presented in Titanic is one which now offends all supporters of social progress. Sadly, it took the chaos and slaughter of the Great War, which began only 2 years after the sinking, to put an end to the Victorian age and bring about a more egalitarian and democratic society in Europe. Films that shaped filmmaking. Our final category references films that shifted the course of movie history, both in positive and negative ways. Like every other human activity, movie making follows trends which historians can observe and critique. By examining the world of movies before and after the films listed below, we can discern which movies are following these trends and which blazed new trails which other filmmakers can follow.
Blade Runner, 1983. Yeah, so there's so many bad films out there. Where would I even start? Also, since I've been responsible for naming a slew of them for this episode, I decided to rebel a bit and cover a good one. John can curse me later with the One Ring. Blade Runner opened to divided audiences, who either saw it as a flop or a cinematic masterpiece. Thankfully, history sided with the former, and the movie is widely regarded as one of the best sci-fi films ever made. Ridley Scott takes you to a world of shadow and light. In this film, you never quite see anything, and that's the point. A 1940s detective story made in the 1980s, Blade Runner follows a cop named Deckard, who is responsible for retiring replicants, which are humanoid creations akin to androids. The film follows Deckard through the moral implications of his job, questions the definition of life, and ends with one of the greatest ad-lib speeches of all time. Lines like, "It's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does?" are paired with settings that are somehow vast and claustrophobic at the same time. Many filmmakers cite this movie as their inspiration, especially in the way that it uses light. I agree with them. And while we're on the topic, Blade Runner 2049 is amazing as well.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy, 2001 to 2003. My personal favorite film, I regard all three as a single, ridiculously long movie, is Peter Jackson's The Lord of the Rings trilogy. It is a masterpiece on screen, filled with all the violence and bloodshed to appeal to this teenager, who first watched it in the theater in December 2001, as well as to the deep and meaningful themes which still resonate with me each Christmas when I sit down and watch them again. On a technical level, The Lord of the Rings revolutionized the movie industry even more than my runner-up, Star Wars. CGI battle scenes, motion capture performance, and broad and sweeping cinematography existed before these three films, but it was The Lord of the Rings which brought these new techniques into the Hollywood mainstream. If you have never seen this trilogy, go and stream it right now. That's your homework assignment for this week. Honorable mention. Here, Joe and I picked a favorite film which did not necessarily fit into the categories we had assigned for ourselves. While they may not be the most accurate depictions of history, or even historical films at all, they use events to teach lessons which can be applied to the present.
Braveheart, 1995. Mel Gibson's portrayal of the Scotsman William Wallace showed the horrors of medieval combat for the first time. The breathtaking terrain of the Highlands, mixed with the scale and score of the film, brought that world to life. Its message of conviction, leadership, and freedom resounded with me, and with audiences all over the world.
Star Trek First Contact, 1996. Really, John? A Star Trek movie in a history podcast? First of all, Joe talked about Blade Runner, so I don't want to hear anything about science fiction not being history. Star Trek First Contact is not a historical movie. at least not yet, but it has an interesting subplot about a famous character revered in the 24th century. When the crew of the Starship Enterprise meet him after time traveling to a point about 50 years from our present day, they learn that he is not the hero seen in the pages of history. He is a drunk, foul-mouthed buffoon. The film reminds us that historical figures are not larger than life. They are men and women as flawed as each of us. And it tells us that when we are called to high purposes, even the least of us can rise to the occasion.
Conclusion. A picture is indeed worth a thousand words. Modern cinema has enabled viewers to take a literal front row seat in watching history unfold. Through movies, we can watch the drama of events through the many historical figures who witnessed them firsthand. The list represented here is but a preview of some movies that we recommend and others we encourage you to ignore. Unfortunately, modern movies have a tendency to fall prey to the cancer that is revisionist history, with directors, actors, and writers injecting their political, socio, and economical beliefs into historical storylines. Regardless of which side of the aisle is responsible, the effect is devastating to viewers who often take what's given to them as fact. So, if you feel so inclined, please listen to our words of warning when it comes to historical movies. Don't take them at face value. If you've learned anything from us, it's that in this, the information age, you have the ability to research topics for yourself. And as we continue to teach you about history, we hope to help. Thank you for joining us on 15 Minute History. We hope that you will listen to our discussion on this topic and tune in next week as we walk in history's footsteps 15 minutes at a time.